Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Peace. That's the gift that we want to talk about today. Peace. As you and I get closer to the celebration of Christmas, as the Christmas songs become a little more prevalent on the radio, as more and more of the lights are coming up, peace is probably one of those things that people tend to think a little bit more about now than they normally do. It seems to be the time of year when people just seem to be a little happier. Folks are a little friendlier. The one who probably in July would have just let the door close on you as they walked out of the store perhaps is holding it for you this time and wishing you a Merry Christmas. Peace is something that the world wants. Peace is something that our society longs for. Peace is something that our society sort of thinks it knows what it is. It has an idea of what it thinks peace should look like. Society around us thinks peace looks like no more war. And I suppose we'd agree. Society tends to think that peace is this idea that the conflicts go away and rights are acknowledged and rights are given and rights are preserved so that we can all be equal and we can live together in harmony and in unity. The world tends to think of peace as something that allows opinions to be shared and no one needs to be feeling judged, no one needs to feel like they're looked down on or there's somehow some standard. While they have those ideas of what they think peace might look like, the world has no idea how to get there. Society in which we live hasn't a clue as to how to get peace. And for that, perhaps, just look at what's going on around us. Look at how you are being taught to communicate if you're paying attention to what happens out on the radio and the television and out on the internet. Some ideas seem to be, and I can't imagine how they think this brings about peace, but it seems like the idea is that the moment there's some sort of conflict, the moment that there's something that sort of rattles your peace, shut them down. You get out there, you proclaim what's going on with them, you post everything, you talk to everybody, and you make them feel so bad that they don't dare say anything, and then I can have peace. I'm offended. And I'm going to make sure everybody knows how offended I am. And as I proclaim how offended I am, maybe I can get other people to think that they can be offended too. And we again shout down what tends to rattle our peace. Now, while it's easy to see others doing that, how often haven't we caught ourselves doing the same thing? Where we kind of contrive our own peace by making others be quiet so that I can say, think, and do whatever I wish. No wonder the gift of peace for you and for me this morning is such an amazing gift. No wonder you and I love the Advent season because it allows us to take a step back from all of the stuff that's being thrown at us from the society and the world in which we live. And we get to rejoice in really what peace is because we know what it is and we know where it comes from. And we know how it's made. So we go to our first lesson, Malachi chapter 3. We listen as this Old Testament prophet reminds us about the gift of peace. And as we read through those words, perhaps you noticed that as Malachi talks about this gift, as he talks about peace, he reminds us that there was peace before. And there will be peace again. The gift of peace. The prophet Malachi has often been summarized as God's last call to repentance. The last prophet before you get to John the Baptist. Right around 400 B.C., so roughly 400 years before our Savior arrived and before John the Baptist began preparing the way for the Lord, Malachi is busy through questions and answer, reminding the people of their rebellion, calling them to repentance, reminding them of the promise, reminding them that because of their rebellion and the idolatry and everything else that was so prevalent, that's why there was no peace, even though there had been peace before. There had been peace. There was peace in Eden. Right? The last time there really was peace. Adam and Eve were created in God's image. Adam and Eve thought like God, acted like God, agreed with God, walked with God, rejoiced in that amazing, perfect, peaceful harmony that they had with their Lord. But that peace was lost. That peace was lost the moment Adam and Eve determined that God wasn't worth listening to anymore. This brand new thing that came to us from the snake through Satan, that we're going to listen to. And now instead of peace and harmony and agreement, you've got hatred, you've got animosity, you have unbelief. The peace was restored, in part, with the promise. The promise that one was going to come and crush Satan's head. That peace begins to be built on and expanded on through Abraham. As God zeroes in His work of saving the world by working in with one family. And so He comes to Abraham and He gives him the promise and fills him with that peace of knowing that that land, the land of Canaan, was going to be his. The reason he needed that land is because he was going to have all kinds of descendants. And the reason he needed all those descendants is because one of them was going to bless the world. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived in that peace, lived in that harmony, lived in that joy of that particular promise of salvation. But that peace began to go away again. When the brothers decided that Joseph shouldn't be kept around, he needs to go away. And the entire nation eventually ends up in Egypt and in slavery. The peace was partly restored again during the glory days of David and Solomon. The people are settled in the land. Things are firmly in place. David had planned the temple. Solomon had it built. The Levites were busy doing their work. The sacrifices were being offered, the words were being read, and king and nation as a whole, at least to begin with, their focus and their joy was on worshiping their Lord and their God and focusing in on the blessings that He had given to them. That peace was there again as they heard the promises and rejoiced in what God had to say. But it went away again. As time goes on, they import more of the idolatry of the people around them. As time goes on, they act like the people around them. They think like the people around them. And the peace is once again lost. Will there be peace when the Lord comes? You caught that at the very end of this lesson, Malachi had talked about how there used to be peace in days of old and years long ago. But just before that, he said, who can endure the day when he comes? Who will remain standing when he appears? Our society isn't any different than the days right after the fall, than in the days of slavery, than in the days of all the idolatry in the Old Testament. Because it's the same sin, it's the same selfishness, it's the same impurities, it's the same contamination. Who can stand? Are we going to be able to stand when our Lord and our Savior comes? Are we going to be able to endure? Because think of how many times you and I started acting like the people around us. They didn't know that we were followers of our Lord and our Savior because we talked and we acted no different than anybody else. And if we did claim to follow our Lord and our Savior, and yet we were busy condoning our sin, explaining our sin away, justifying why I can do what I want to do, then what kind of message are you sending about your Savior? And how important is your God? Can we stand? Can we endure? Is it even possible to have peace? You remember how unpeaceful you felt when you were called to the principal's office? Remember how unpeaceful you felt when you got pulled over, when you had to go visit with the boss, whatever those situations might have been? How unpeaceful will we feel when our Savior comes? That's why we rejoice in the gift of peace. Because we know on our own there is no peace. on our own, the peace always goes away. God keeps bringing it back. God keeps reminding us of it, and we keep leaving it behind. So He comes, and He gives us the gift of peace. There had been peace before. There will be peace again. And that's the promise that He gives. Look, I am sending my messenger. He will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord, whom you are seeking, will come to His temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight will surely come, says the Lord of armies. Malachi is talking about two messengers. Kind of an interesting play on work because Malachi's name means my messenger. The first messenger, which the Lord calls my messenger, is the one who is going to be preparing the way, very literally taking the way and turning it toward His eyes. Here's the way. Here's how you go. We were introduced to that messenger through the choir number and through our gospel lesson. As you and I are reminded of John the Baptist who came, fulfilled the prophecy of Malachi, Isaiah, and others, who said, here's the one who's coming to prepare the way of the Lord. And while he is busy doing his work, then suddenly another messenger arrives. This one's called the messenger of the covenant. And you know who that is too. That's Jesus. The Lord, whom you are seeking, even though the people in Malachi's day were often running adrift, getting lost in their own ideas of what peace was, they were still seeking the Lord. They're at least in general still looking ahead to God. That messenger of the covenant, whom you desire. There were all kinds of misunderstandings about what that covenant was all about and misunderstandings about what the messenger were due, but they still desire his arrival. So these two messengers point our attention back to who he is and remind us that there will be peace again. And because of Jesus, we can stand. Back to verse 2, but who can endure the day when he comes? Who will remain standing when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire, like launderer's bleach. He will be seated like a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and like silver. They will belong to the Lord and bring him an offering in righteousness. Judah and Jerusalem's offerings will be pleasing to the Lord, as they were in the days of old, in years long ago. There had been peace. There will be peace again. And that's why we can stand. Think about the impurities. Impurities that we could use to describe the sin that stains and wrecks everything that we do. As our Lord and our Savior enters into this world, as the messenger of the covenant comes and does His work, all those impurities are burned away. He is the refiner. He is the fire. And as He burns all of those impurities away, all that is left is the pure righteousness of our Lord and our Savior, and in Him we stand. There will be peace again. Everything that contaminates, all of the things that stained and spoiled and wrecked, all of that is strained out, taken away. The soap carries out its work, scrubs every spot and wrinkle and blemish away, and now we get to stand perfectly clean in His sight. There will be peace again because of Christ, the messenger of the covenant, the one we're looking for, the one that we desire. And because of everything that He does, you and I know there will be peace again because we belong to Him. Malachi referred to the Levites. You remember them as the ones in the Old Testament who were the priests. They were the ones who took care of the temple. They were the ones who did the sacrificing. And again, you see Malachi talking about how there had been peace in the past. Those works of the Levites had been acceptable at one time, but now they weren't again, but they will be in the future. They will bring offerings. They will be blessings. And now you jump ahead to the New Testament and you hear words like this, 1 Peter 2, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the people who are God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. You're the priests. You have that peace of knowing that you don't need somebody else to go to God for you. You don't need somebody else to intercede on your behalf. You get to go to God on your own because you are now that holy nation. You are now that royal priesthood. You stand with the gift of peace before your Savior. And as that royal priesthood, you are the ones who are able to bring those sacrifices. And look what the sacrifices are. Romans chapter 12, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, by the mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your appropriate worship." You are the offering. Everything that you are, everything that you have, all of your being, you get to go to your Lord and your God, you stand before Him with the gift of peace. And everything is worship. Everything is praise. Because you know there will be peace again. All because of Christ. As Luther lectured on these words, he made this observation: Christ is not merely the purifier, but also the purifying agent. He is not only the blacksmith, but also the fire. Not only the cleaner, but also the soap. In Him, there's peace. Without Him, all the peace goes away. With Him, there will be peace again. So as we go out to our friends and our families and our acquaintances and our neighbors, as we take this opportunity to rejoice in opportunities to invite people to come and hear about their amazing Savior at Christmas time, as we do that, we come here and we prepare ourselves so that we are reminded that we do have the gift of peace. And since we have that peace, we can now take that peace to those who are around us. We'll still struggle. There'll still be times when perhaps it doesn't feel like there's peace. But there will be. There will be peace. There is peace now. There will be peace forever in the glories of heaven. Jesus made sure of that. Amen.